You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everybody. As always, a terrific show today. A great interest to most of us, and I'll tell you why in just a little bit. But before I do, let me ask you some very important questions out there. Does it seem like more and more of us, or many of our friends and coworkers, continue to complain about trying to get organized? You know what I'm saying? In our work and our family lives and you know, how many times have you heard friends or have you said, I feel like I'm on a hamster wheel, but I can't manage it. I can't get my act together. You know, it's just going on, and I don't know what to do. I can never seem to, I'm always on time, but there's other things that I can never seem to accomplish. Are you sometimes forgetful? Do you hear everybody else going, gosh, I'm always forgetting things. How about distractions? Do you get distracted from your tasks? Are you kind of impulsive sometimes? How many times have you heard out there, friends, adult friends, right? That's what I'm talking about right now. Say, I think I have ADHD or ADD. And they're kidding. But deep down inside, they're thinking, God, maybe I do. We all kind of think that from time to time, especially with what's going on, you know, in the media and information we hear about ADD and ADHD and the stimulants people are using and all that. But today we're going to talk about fast minds and how to thrive if you have ADHD or even if you think you might have it. We're going to find out if you might have it and what you can do about it. My guest today is Dr. Tim Bilkey. He's a psychiatrist who's developed an accredited ADHD educational program. He's also the founder of the Bilkey ADHD Clinic for Women in Toronto. And we're talking today about his latest book. It's really groundbreaking because it deals with every aspect of treating ADHD. It's not only for physicians, psychologists, psychiatrists. It's also a practical book for you to understand and read for yourself. It'll help you learn how to thrive if you have ADHD or ADD, the symptoms, or even if you think you might. Hey, Dr. Tim Bilkey, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's great to have you.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. Thanks, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
It's a good book. It's very comprehensive, and it's not that complicated, per se, of a read for the layperson out there, so they can understand what's going on better.
Yeah, we geared it for, you know, everyone that can understand about ADHD, and then so we try to, you know, make these concepts clear and simple to understand.
Yeah, they are. Why? Let's just jump to the most obvious here. Why did you write this book? Why was this so important to you?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. Adult ADHD is one of the most under-recognized conditions that we see in psychiatric outpatient practice. Mm-hmm. And the truth is only 1 in 10 adults will ever come for an evaluation, which means the majority of people are out there floating around, struggling, feeling like there's something holding them back. Mm-hmm. So we put our, my co-author and I, Craig Sermon, we put our heads together. We came up with ideas around how we could write a book so that people could better recognize the symptoms of adult ADHD, because it's sort of a black box in a way of what it really is.
Yeah.
And then if people thought they had the symptoms, what they could do about it.
Well, bless your heart. I mean, and you are a researcher, you're a psychiatrist, you're a medical doctor, and I know your co-author, who I want to mention as well, Craig Sermon, is you know, also really working a lot and hand in hand with you on the issue of ADHD in adults. And also we're going to be talking a bit about children and the epidemic and what's going on as well. And the book is also with Karen Weintraub, may I mention, as well, guys.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And we'll tell you more. She's super. And we'll tell you more about how you all can get the book a little bit later. Because it's not only going to help you with, you know, defining if you have ADHD or, you know, ADD, and we'll talk a little bit about the differences, not much differences, but it's also, if you just can't get organized or you have certain traits that are bothering you that may be associated with this FAST Minds acronym, which we're going to talk about, then you can get help and kind of figure out how to get your act together a little bit more. Doesn't necessarily mean you need meds, guys, or anything like that. So, Dr. Bilkey, you know, it seems like so many more people, adults and children, are being diagnosed with ADHD than ever before. And what's going on? Why does this keep popping up in our society? Is it an epidemic? You know?
Yeah, I know. It's so interesting. You know, the first clinical description, though, goes back to 1902. So a guy called George Still, you know, wrote in the journal Lancet, all the kids with ADHD. The first treatment was 1937, and that was recorded in the American Journal of Psychiatry. So actually this condition has been sitting there for, you know, many years. I think what's happened now is that we start to look across the globe. It's not just a North American construct. We start to look at little girls, females. So when you start to look for this condition, it's almost 5% of the adult population. It's like 1 in 25 people globally. So I don't think the condition is, you know, suddenly popping up on the radar. We're just screening for it and catching it now.
You know, that is amazing. So it's always been around. Wow, 1902. Did they have a name for it back then, or did they just have symptoms they described?
they described symptoms, but it's had funny labels across the timeline. Like, it's been called minimal brain dysfunction and minimal brain damage, which is not a really, you know, not a nice title. You know, parents wouldn't love to have that recorded in the pediatric notes. But the label notwithstanding, the core symptoms, hyperactivity, impulsivity, distractibility, they've been sitting there for a long, long time.
Yeah. Boy, that's, well, it's good to know that, you know, high fructose corn syrup isn't causing it in our society. You know, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's there. We just have not been able to really define it and research it and all that stuff up until most recent. You've been researching it quite a long time. I have patients who come into my office and they say, I'm really in trouble. And I say, why? And they say, well, my dad has ADHD, so I'm doomed. Is it inheritable? Or
That's such a great question. So the genetics is very persuasive. It's like 80% of the cases we see are genetic.
Uh-oh.
This condition is as heritable as height, which is obviously a very heritable trait. So it's more heritable than asthma, more heritable than breast cancer. This is so the apple drops straight out of the tree on this one.
Wow. That is really something. Okay, what about, you know, we talk about nature and nurture and all the difference between them. How about, you know, if people grow up in difficult family environments that, you know, may have some abuse or, you know, some kind of trauma in them, does that affect people and cause them to have ADHD symptoms?
Well, I think the truth is in the middle. I think you have to have some genetics going on at the beginning. And then, of course, the environment that we're raised in, sure, that could fan the fire in terms of more difficulties.
Yeah.
We do know that adults with ADHD, for example, do have a higher than average incidence of post-traumatic stress disorder and so forth. But these are different conditions that cluster with ADHD.
Right.
Mostly it's a genetic one.
Wow. Isn't that interesting? Now that we've set you up and talked a little bit about your book, I want to invite listeners to call. If you all would like to ask Dr. Tim Bilkey, the author of Fast Minds, How to Thrive If You Have ADHD, or you think you might, give us a call. The number here, 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. Or if you are shy and you don't want to get your voice on the air, feel free to email me directly here, docmichelle with two L's. at AOL.com. I'll be happy to have Dr. Bilkey. I'll put it on you. Tim. answer any questions you may have. How's that?
Perfect. Yeah, sounds good.
So, the title of your book, Fast Minds, which I love, what a great idea, isn't an acronym for determining certain traits that people may have to help them learn whether they may have ADHD or you know, certain traits. So let's right. get into what that acronym is all about.
So the first F is for forgetful. People with adult ADHD, and this applies to kids too, yeah, they're short-term working memory, so remembering everyday stuff, misplacing things, the phones, the keys, not remembering what partners say to them. And this has been lifelong, so that's the F. The A is underachieving for how well you do. So people with ADHD have tons of abilities but can undershoot their real potential. They're told in school you could do better, you need to apply yourself. Yeah. They may get relegated to jobs where they know they could improve. Yeah. But so there's this ongoing feeling that they're not hitting on all cylinders. The S is just stuck in a rut. People get with ADHD into habitual underachievement, can't move forward in their lives. They get passed over for promotion at work, for example. The World Health Organization documented 22 days of lost job performance per person with untreated ADHD. The T is time challenge. So people run late. They underestimate the amount of time the stuff takes. I gave a talk this morning, and a physician came up. She said, you know, I'm always late with my reports, you know. Bugs my supervisor.
Motivate.
It's resonating. No, motivationally challenged. So they're procrastinators. You know, we can all procrastinate a little bit. 50% of university professors procrastinate, but the ones that I have don't get their PhDs. They don't get tenure because they don't finish those last two things that they had to do. We get people that don't file taxes because of procrastination. You have to have the fast mind symptoms, but there has to be a consequence. The I is impulsive. So impulsive decision making, verbal impulsivity, spending money impulsively, experimenting with drugs, alcohol, sexual experimentation. Even a little bit as an adult is a big thing. And novelty seeking is, you know what, people can't tolerate boredom, tedious, repetitive things. So they seek out exciting stuff. The physicians I have are ER doctors, paramedics, criminal lawyers. You know, we don't have chartered accountants, bookkeepers, sink inspectors, people like that. And D is distractible. You have to be distractible in terms of your mind wandering in a repetitive kind of context, missing out on stuff. They get called spacey and dreamy as kids, but it's, that continues right across the timeline. And the final asset is just being scattered, so lots of clutter, mess, not being able to organize themselves. So that's fast minds.
What a great idea. What a great acronym. You know, that just really nails it. You know, and it's what we do. If we have ADHD or ADD, we have those fast minds.
Fast minds.
So it, what the ADHD is, that difference from ADD is there's a little, there's that hyperactivity element in there, right?
Right. So ADHD, it's not a very good label. You know, we ask people not to worry about the label so much because it's really attention deficit. Adults aren't hyperactive. They have an attention span. So the hyperactivity, even if they had it, drops away. So a lot of adults will come and say, you know what, I don't have that ADHD thing, but I got the ADD. But it's really part of the same umbrella condition.
Very good. Okay, you know, I hear so many of my adult patients who come in and they, you know, they say they are forgetful. They go, yeah, but I'm like 48 and I don't know where I put my readers. You know, and I can't. I'm saying, been there, done that. And where are my keys? And I'm forgetful. You know, my wife told me something last night and, God, she tells me that she said this to me all the time and I just don't remember. And I just feel scattered a lot of the time. Now, these are sort of common traits of a lot of folks who have maybe anxiety disorders.
Right, exactly.
But does it mean that they have ADHD if they have just a few of these traits?
It's possible because even being like forgetful, distractible, time challenged, a procrastinator, that's only a few, but those can lower potential for people. The trick with ADHD, so when we make this diagnosis, So for people to go to see a psychologist or a physician, whatever, you have to make sure that they've always been sitting there, so they don't pop up on the radar at 45. Right. So we worked very hard at making sure as a kid they certainly had these symptoms.
Yeah.
The issue with it is that as an adult, there's nobody around to help. So if you've got these persistent symptoms, as adults, we're expected to manage lots of different things, and people can come in feeling very overwhelmed.
Wow, I bet. That's right. And, you know, there's the, also, like you said, accompanying disorders that go with that, you know, the depression and the anxiety and all that. So what you're saying is that, you know, this has been the ADHD propensity towards all of those or many of those traits has been within the adults since they were children, but it was never really recognized or focused on because maybe they just thought, oh, well, they're just being a kid. Well, they're just being an adolescent. You know, they're impulsive, and that's their personality. But it is stayed. Now, does it get worse as we get older?
Oh, that's a great question. Because it's called cognitive loading. So it's all of the things, it's a funny term, but all of the expectations that we have in our brain.
Uh-huh.
When we're little kids, you need to go to school, do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
But as an adult, you have to manage finances, mortgages, job, work outside the home, inside the home, pay attention to a partner, manage all kinds of things. So you're juggling all of these balls.
Yeah.
And it's this loading process that makes people just feel like, I may have had this as a kid, but I think it's getting worse.
Yeah.
When in fact, it's just the situation is much more complex as an adult.
Ah, that's right. That would seem right. You know, you have responsibilities in life now. You've got to actually get out there and do stuff and, you know, make it work.
That's it.
And I think, you know, it's in the DSM, you know, all the DSMs, the key to diagnosing anything really is lack of functioning. And this can knock you down. I mean, the ADHD can really interfere with functioning. Like you said, what, 22 days of work is off with folks who have it?
Yeah, that's it. And poor driving records.
Mm.
With untreated, there's two different scenarios. So untreated ADD, lots of different impairments.
Uh-huh.
Poor driving records, people can get addicted to stuff.
Mm.
Divorce rates are increased.
Oh.
The treated case, though, is way different. I gave a talk this morning showing some data that if you treat kids with ADHD with medicine, they're far less likely to become addicted to stuff, particularly cigarettes. And for women, if you treat ADHD, the incidence of, you know, getting in trouble with the law, criminality and all that, you drop that rate by 41%. So it really has a protective effect for people if you treat them.
Isn't that great? That's such good news. I love that. And you talk about meds. Now, there's all this stuff going on about illegal sales of Adderall. I mean, I've got young adult clients who said, oh, yeah, the big thing in my high school was, you know, selling Adderall. So they'd be stimulated.
Right.
They wouldn't sleep well, as teenagers don't. You know, they get up, they got tests going on. And the stimulant, it's kind of a cool buzz. I kind of like that. But, I mean, so what do we do? You know, where do we distinguish between treating ADHD? And I guess what I'm asking is, what does it do in the brain of someone who has ADHD, let's say Ritalin or Adderall, some of the new stimulants, as opposed to someone who doesn't have ADHD?
Well, for somebody who has ADHD, it raises neurotransmitters, chemical messengers that help the prefrontal cortex, the thinking part of the brain, to function better. And we know that there's a couple of these chemical messengers that the level is too low, dopamine and norepinephrine. So in somebody with ADHD, they take medicine, and now you optimize how well the thinking part of the brain works.
Mm.
And they're off to the races. So the kids, like in that 1937 study, it was the little kids referred to their medicine as their math pills. So the kids recognized that, you know, it was helping them function. In a non-ADHD person, we would all, anybody taking a stimulant could feel energized and revved up and all of that. But the majority of adults with ADHD do not abuse drugs because they're using their medicine to simply get through life, to get through college, to be better functioning at work, to be a better partner. So they're not going to be snorting. They're not going to be snorting their drugs if they're trying to save their marriage. You know, this doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
There's a very small percentage of adults with ADHD who do divert medicine, so mm-hmm. they sell, but it's like 3 or 4%. So the majority of people, it's kind of like glasses. It doesn't make any sense that if you really need glasses that you'd in some way abuse that. You know, use it to function in your life.
Wow. Fascinating stuff. Interesting stuff. By the way, if you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here. And my special guest today is Dr. Tim Bilkey. He's the author, co-author, may I say, of the book Fast Minds, How to Thrive if You Have ADHD, or if you think you might. And, of course, Tim is the co-author with Craig Sermon, who is also a medical doctor, psychiatrist, with Karen Weintraub. And it's a fascinating book because it also has a lot of journal work. It has a lot of, you know, places for you to write things out, you know, write thoughts out, write task information out. Just sort of figure out if you have symptoms of ADHD or ADD. And, and then it has, of course, help, self-help information and things you can do to get yourself less scattered and more organized and more focused and have a little more memory tools and stuff. So we'll talk about that coming up. If you'd like to call in, the number here, 323-203-0815. Of course, you can email me live, Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's, at AOL.com. So we talked about a little bit of the side symptoms that go with ADHD, which are depression because of the frustration and, of course, anxiety about trying to perform and live up to your colleagues' work, you know, when you're not quite up to par there. Also, you know, what I saw, which was fascinating to me, is I used to, you know, lead family groups with ADHD clients. And the adults, what I saw, with the kids as well, but the adults who had it would lose it. They had so much anger, and they just all pent up in them. And this was a safe environment where they could, you know, speak to their families about their frustrations. And wow, why is the anger so profound in this disorder?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So the DSM currently just talks about three subtypes of ADHD. In our book, we talk about different versions. Hmm. And Craig has published on a subtype of ADHD, which is highlighted by quick-temperedness. Hmm. Somebody says something, somebody does something, they have a meltdown.
Yeah.
Lots of rage, and then they quickly go back to baseline.
Yeah.
They're all over it.
Yeah.
And then what happens, though, is there's terrible impact on others.
Sure.
Family members and so forth start
right.
to walk around on eggshells, avoiding certain topics.
Sure.
So it's affective dysregulation. It's over-reactivity, hot-temperedness. They're irritable, touchy, grumpy, grouchy. And that's a subtype of ADHD. Not everybody's got it. That's really different from a person who's sort of more daydreamy and
right.
disorganized and stuff.
Right.
But this particular subtype can really cause trouble in relationships. Often it's within the family, so it could be a young adult with his mother. It's in relationships where a partner says something and then there's overreactivity. So it causes lots of stress, and often that's a hallmark symptom when people come in. When I ask his wife or his partner, what do we need to fix, they'll often say it's his temper. His temper is
uh-huh.
a big issue.
Wow. Boy, is that something. And, you know, people, don't you think people sometimes, or professionals, because we have to be really careful with diagnosing folks, that we can confuse some of that anger with bipolar symptoms,
yep.
you know,
yep.
and, of course, anxiety, which is there. Sometimes people are rageaholics, as I call them, you know, again, if they have a personality disorder. I mean, that's really very common
right.
in the Axis 2 cluster Bs. So, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard to really nail that, isn't it? The ADHD diagnosis sometimes.
Huh? Yeah, so we start with a childhood history, and you got to see it in the childhood records.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers will tell you about what he's like. So if he was hot-tempered, it's always been sitting there. You track it through adolescence. You make sure
uh-huh.
it's always been sitting there into adulthood. And then they have to have these other areas of impairment. The fifth criterion, the fifth thing you have to do is make sure it's not something else that looks like ADHD. So, for
uh-huh.
example, bipolar disorder. But bipolar has more mood instability. People come through the door saying, well, his mood is really unstable. It's been like this for a period of time.
Yeah.
Whereas this, the grumpiness that comes along with ADHD, it's very short-lived. It's always in response to something else.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have these long periods of unstable mood.
Yeah.
If they've got a fast mind and a bit hot-tempered, you know, their sleep patterns, all that stuff, it's always been like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really helps you separate out the other things from ADHD. But you can have both in some cases.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. I guess it sure does. So let's talk about some of those signs, you know, that people who think they may have some traits of ADHD, and we just got an email in here. Maybe we should answer that email first, and then you could... No, let's talk about some of the signs, and then we'll pick it up from there with this Doc Michelle email I just reserved. A question for you, Dr. Bilkey, so you get to have this one, but can you just sort of share some of those traits? We talked about the FAST Minds and acronym, but...
Yeah.
Some of the other little traits that folks may need on as a heads up to get some help.
Yeah, so they've often been told you can do better. So at school, they kind of do things the night before. They're doing the bare minimum to get through school. And everybody says, you know, we know you could be doing better. So if you're really undershooting how well you could do, that's a particular sign you need to pay attention to. And the work front, underachieving, being passed over for promotion, being, you know, your manager's upset that things come late, easily sidetracked, if it takes too long, mm-hmm. to get stuff done. Often people with ADHD have to pump tons of energy into their lives.
Yeah.
So they're spending lots and lots of extra hours trying to get the job done. So they're going on weekends to catch up on things. So if if you're functioning like that,
yeah.
then that could be ADD. We have a married with children profile, which is somebody who's maybe got a little kid with ADHD, but it's often a female, can't keep up with, you know, the neighbors seem to get by with things. Everything seems to be kind of easy.
Yeah.
And she's peddling as fast as she can. And
right.
And if you're feeling overwhelmed, demoralized about how life is, that could be ADHD.
Sure. Great. It seems we have a caller on the line here. Shall we go at it? Good morning. You're with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Dr. Tim Bilkey. You're on the couch. Are you on the air? Hello.
Hello.
Okay. I don't think they made it. All right. We'll just keep going on then. I do have an email from another listener here who would like to ask you questions, from Jeff.
Sure.
And he said, hey, doctor, I am 28 years old. I work as a salesperson in a computer store and have never been diagnosed with ADHD. But I have a hard time focusing on my tasks. I'm easily frustrated. I feel bored a lot. I had a hard time studying to get my AA degree, and I just don't seem to have much drive to do anything. But I'm very angry with myself because all of my friends are very successful. What should I do? Good question.
It's a great question. Take a look at the book, because it's going to help with self-recognition. And what I would do, I would go to the primary care physician,
mm-hmm.
and I'd go in armed with, like, Google the symptoms, check it out, and then I would go into the family doctor and say, you know what, I may have ADHD, and begin to explore the symptoms and the childhood history and so forth. The other thing that people can do is go on online. So there's CHAD, mm-hmm. which is an umbrella organization in North America, and that's www.chad.org, and you can get resources in your area. Find out maybe who the specialists are, the experts in ADHD, and I would explore that. And if you bump into a wall with your first attempt, I'd keep going. So could you refer me to a specialist? Howie Mandel did a forward for us in the book,
yeah.
and all he says is, if you think you have this, go check it out.
Right.
Yep.
Does Howie have it?
Yes, he has ADHD,
yeah.
and he has OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yes, he does.
So that's that anxiety thing that can come along with ADHD. The other prominent person, the lead singer from Maroon 5,
right,
has talked about his ADHDs on YouTube. And so there's lots of people now, well-recognized people,
right,
Adam Levine, coming out and saying, oh, I got this. So if you think you might have some of this, go get it checked, because it makes a big difference if it gets recognized and treated.
Boy, it sure does. Is there any connection between ADHD and creativity? Like sometimes people say, well, people with bipolar disorder are really creative, and you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they can come up with lots of great ideas. I mean, when you're distracted by something, people say, oh, he spaces out or something. But in fact, what they're doing is entertaining themselves with something perhaps more interesting if they're sitting in a boring lecture, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They're coming up with lots of ideas.
Yeah.
I think the issue, though, with ADHD is taking those ideas and following through on them. And that's where ADD can sometimes be, you know, more of a challenge.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, your book, which is entitled Fast Minds, folks out there, contains valuable medical and a lot of behavioral information, cognitive help, which is based on scientific studies and years of work that you have done, you know, along with your co-author here, it's Craig Sermon, and Karen Weintraub, who organized the information as well. Can you talk about some of the techniques in your book? Because this is indeed, folks, a workbook as well. So you can sort of get started on this and also, you know, maybe work in conjunction with your specialist to, you know, help yourself become a little more productive.
That's right. Yes, it's been built so that people, and each chapter builds on the previous chapter, so we get people to self-select for where ADHD plays a role in their lives. So we ask, where are you noticing that you're not engaged in the activity? Where do you notice where you struggle?
Mm-hmm.
And we call those critical moments. So those are moments where they get stuck. So this is a university student who can't sit down and do the paper.
Yeah.
This is somebody who's procrastinating on something on the home, like a task, their taxes, that kind of thing. We call it a critical moment. We ask them to sort out where they are distracted in their lives and what is distracting them. So could it be a thought that they have? Are they having feelings that distract? Is their environment distracting? So a lot of people with ADD will say, you know, I need my room really neat and tidy before I can sort of focus on things. So these are all areas where people from a very individual perspective would notice where the condition plays a role.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've recognized that, it's starting to address those. So it's setting up systems to prioritize, to plan, starting with checklists, conquering the clutter and the mess. And these are kind of new habits. So we actually talk about how to form new habits.
Mm-hmm.
Take 60 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you do a piece of work that's not so interesting, but you got to finish, you give yourself a quick reward.
Hey.
So you're not sitting there for hours and hours. Give a quick reward and then back to the work. And these are the kinds of things that make a big difference for people.
Sure. We all, you know, we all get bored from time to time. It's just, but everybody needs a break as well, but especially folks who may, you know, have the ADHD issue. You got to take, you know, care of your brain.
That's it.
So you give various thought exercises, and again, it's just, it's almost like a muscle. Is it working a muscle, right?
Yeah, and it's so true. The what we've noticed over time is that, you know, if you've been told your whole life you could do better, and if you just pulled up your socks, that life would be better. Yeah, that starts to wear after a while, because people will say, well, if I'm so smart, how come I don't, whatever. And so this, from a cognitive point of view, they people will have very negative automatic thoughts, like, why can't I do this? What's wrong with me? That kind of stuff. So in there, we talk about cognitive behavioral therapy, note down when you're having a negative thought, what's the situation, and then offering different kinds of explanations for what's going on. You know, what would my pal say? What would a coach say? And this is actually evidence-based. My co-author has published on this. So cognitive behavioral therapy in adult ADHD is a really effective thing to do, and they can do it in the book.
Mm-hmm. Great. It is a workbook, and it is helpful. And it's not difficult. You know, so sometimes, you know, people, when I have guests on the show who are expert authors and researchers and medical doctors such as yourself, you know, a lot of callers write me and they go, is this difficult? Is this going to be hard? Is this going to be homework? You know, well, it's not really that hard, but if you're really suffering, and you want to find more out about your ADHD or ADD symptoms, it will sort of help you realize that maybe you do need a little bit of help here in defining the things. And then, of course, you know, some of the cognitive exercises as well. Can you talk about some of the behavioral and cognitive exercises besides the ones we just talked about that might be motivated?
Well, people with ADD, there's certain kind of repetitive thinking patterns. So there's this thing called all or none thinking, which is like something happens and you say, I'm no good at this, or I can never do things like that. So we get them to look at that when that pops up in the radar, because it becomes really automatic for people. Another typical thought pattern is called catastrophizing, which is, you know, your manager looks at you in the office and, what's he looking at? Oh, geez, maybe he's upset with me. Maybe he's mad about that report. So you take a little thing, and then it kind of turns into the end of the world. So we get people to recognize when that's happening, the situation. And, it makes a big difference to stop that, because when we talk to ourselves, we're listening. So it's negative thought patterns can be a big deal with adult ADHD. Their self-esteem after 45 years of being told you should do better, it's not great. It's not great.
Wow, is that true? And, you know, we talked earlier about adults, you know, never ever being diagnosed with ADHD is when they were younger, then all of a sudden they're struggling. But what also happens is, you know, and I know you know this with research, is the neural patterns, you know, become so strongly embedded. And that's why we have to break them. And, you know, 60 days to build a habit. Yeah. It takes a lifetime sometimes of those neural patterns that are like, oh, my luck is always bad, or I am some way impaired and I will never be able to study, or, you know, all of these negative cognitions that we build in. It's hard to change those up and say, wait a minute, you know, I am just as smart as the other person, but I just have to overcome some of these chemical imbalances.
Yeah, it's like, it's so true. It's like people, it's like they kind of settle for things. Like, okay, you know, this maybe is as good as it's going to get for me. And I, you know, they give up on their dreams.
Yeah.
And what we talk about in the book is creating a new kind of academic or a vocational trajectory. So it creates a new sense of hope. Like, okay, you've had shortness of breath all your life, but you did some testing. It's like, it's a thing called asthma. So it'll give you some Ventolin. And so it's the same with ADD. We can address it, and then you get a kind of a new trajectory for where you can go.
Yep. We were talking about medications as well a little bit earlier. Should folks be afraid of the medications at all? You know, should they be afraid? You know, there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, I don't like medication. You know, they're adult patients, and they're like, oh, I'm on my blood pressure meds, and I'm on and it's like, no, I don't want to take Adderall or Ritalin or what's the Daytrana patches like that newer one that they're doing right now.
Right, right. So when you look at the literature with ADHD, it's the reverse problem. We have a lot of trouble keeping people on medicine. So by adolescence, even if a little kid was diagnosed, 60% of them aren't taking it anymore. So it's called adherence. And so actually getting people to take pills, blood pressure pills, or any kind of pills could be a thing. But the meds themselves have been studied extensively, and lots of very good science supports the use of them. And it's teens, it's children, it's adults, it's the same condition, people respond. The issue is you have to have the right diagnosis, everything flows from that. And then careful use of these meds. So we talk about in the book, start on a low dose, gradually go up. There's trackers in there so you can monitor what symptoms are fixing up, the ones that aren't. And then a gradual increase in these meds, looking for side effects. We ask people to be really informed, Google the drugs, talk to your physician. And working with a doctor, it's a very collaborative process. You're going to need to find the right doctor who can do these things. But if you do it that way, it's a safe process, and the cardiac safety of these drugs has been established. It's when people use excessive amounts, they may not have ADHD, too rapid increase in the dose, then you might run into more, you know, more difficulties.
Yep. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, psychiatrist Dr. Tim Bilkey. He is author, co-author rather, of the book Fast Minds, How to Thrive If You Have ADHD or Think You Might. Describes a lot of the symptoms in the acronym Fast Minds that may determine whether you have ADHD. This is saying check with your physician as well, but this is a wonderful book in explaining characteristics that you may have that are keeping you from living your life fully as you would like. Talking about, you know, fast minds, what's the deal with the impulsiveness? I mean, why is that part of the diagnosis?
Yeah, we know that it's such an important issue because, like I said before, it's not even in the label.
Yeah.
It maybe should be called attention deficit impulsivity hyperactivity disorder. But across the timeline, impulsivity does stick around.
Yeah.
And it's brain-based again. So I think it has to do with differences in the reward center, the structure of the brain. There's subtle differences with people with adult ADHD. What we see, though, is people, you know, spending money impulsively. I had a woman recently, she took her car in for an oil change, mm-hmm. and then in the afternoon she was driving away the brand new car. So that's a, you know, that's an impulsive thing.
Wow.
Her partner wasn't too happy. Verbal impulsivity, cutting people off in conversation, often adults sort of intuit what the other guy is saying, and they sort of want to cut to the chase. Or the other thing is that they'll blurt stuff out if they think they're going to forget the thing that they want to say, so they just socially say that. So that verbal impulsivity has consequences. Binging on stuff, alcohol, drugs, food. So there's a higher than average incidence of people who get addicted because of impulsive experimentation.
Yes.
And we know this is, you know, it's brain wiring, but impulsivity is very subtle. It's too easy for other people to say, well, you know, why did you do that?
Yeah.
So it's something, that's a critical moment. So we get people to recognize when they're more impulsive. In the chapter's called, Don't Just Do It.
Yeah.
Just think about it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's some great, worksheet information that y'all out there can read and take your time to digest before you, you know, just do the knee-jerk reactions to things, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, we here in Los Angeles are teased about our, our focus on, you know, the sunshine and getting out and the vitamins and the natural foods and all that. You know, everybody sort of sees us as these, you know, kind of crazy kickback people. But there really is a lot of information about, in your book, about certain types of deficits in nutrition. You talk about omega-3 fatty acids and zinc and iron. Can you just briefly touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, so there are some supplements that make a huge difference, including the ones you've listed. You know, it's so important because with ADHD, inconsistency is sort of a common feature. But in a sleep-wake cycle, you know, going to bed, at different times, being a night owl, not getting up in the morning, not eating regular meals, not being able to stick to a nutritional plan, an exercise plan. We find that a lot with ADHD. So as a consequence, you know, getting increased body weight, being more prone to things like diabetes, and so forth. So a lot of people with ADHD are night owls.
Yeah.
So we get them to kind of correct that. A lot of kids sit up at night on the computer. They may need melatonin at night to help them get to sleep. But we try to get much more consistency that way. So regular sleep, healthy food, exercise, everything that Grandma sort of, you know, said was important. she was pretty much right. So there's a big part of exercise is wonderful for ADHD.
Yeah, yeah. You talk about zinc and iron and magnesium and vitamin B12.
Zinc and iron, yeah.
Yeah. So it's all good. It's all good and helpful. Okay, let's talk about some of the hogwash out there in my technical term. In the public, in the media, with some of these figures who say, you know what, I think immunizations have caused my child to have ADHD. And
right.
What's up with that?
Yeah, it's so interesting. There are various mythologies that exist, you know, immunization has caused it, or, you know, I had one young guy, he was told that he had ADHD because of too much sugar in his diet. So for 3 years, as a little kid, you know, he couldn't have ketchup on his hamburger.
Aww.
Sort of like a verified, rarefied form of child abuse or something.
Exactly.
But anyway, but there's no data on that, so there's no evidence. And it's really important that when people have an opinion, it's got to be, as you know, rooted in some science. You have to have some studies or something, and we just don't have those studies on the kinds of things like immunization causing ADHD and purple dyes. Purple dyes may make something a bit worse, but it's not causing ADHD. The ADHD is genetic. It's been sitting there.
Yeah, it's been sitting there. Now, does it skip a generation? Or if you see, you know, if you hear stories like, well, Grandpa was always a little ootsy. You know, he couldn't, Grandpa couldn't sit still for very long.
Yeah.
And he, you know, what's up with
that? Yeah, he was temperamental. He smoked cigarettes.
Yeah.
And his place, he was a bit absent-minded.
Right.
Yeah, we hear those stories a lot. So it is strongly genetic. It may skip a generation, but often you'll find another sibling, there'll be a first cousin that has it, uncles, aunts, and that sort of thing. So it's pretty heritable. It's very interesting.
Yeah, just got to kind of be aware of family inheritance, you know, and family issues. And again, they didn't have, you know, with Grandma and Grandpa, really, they didn't have that, you know, defined diagnosis and the traits, and they didn't have the scientific information. So
it's
just
true. I had a videographer who, he's in our book. He's a wonderful guy, but he struggled inner city schools, couldn't do his homework, all of that stuff, underachieved. He got married, and he moved back. He visited his relatives in a small town in Sicily. Never met some of these people before, and he said, "You know, I always felt sort of weird and different. But when I went back to see my relatives, they were all like me."
Oh yeah.
And he said, "You know what? If I had lived a rural life, you know, worked on a farm, dawn to dusk, that kind of thing," he said, "I would never have been really picked up as having a problem. It's just in the context of modern day life, I really do struggle." So it's sort of interesting.
It is really interesting. Well, Doctor, it's just about that time to wrap things up here, but I wanted to have you share with listeners how they can get a hold of your book and find out more about you.
So, yeah, any big bookstore, Barnes Noble, you can go on Amazon.com. So there's a Kindle version of our book. And it's available, you know, throughout North America. We just heard it's now places like Australia and UK.
Nice.
So it's, you can check it out.
Terrific read, and also most helpful, and it reads comfortably also for lay people. Helps you along, and if you or your child you feel may have some of these symptoms, you know, get more information, check it out, and use the tools in this book that can really help you with some of your distractible or hyperactive traits that you may have. So, Dr. Tim Bilkey, thank you. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thanks so much, Michelle.
All right. We appreciate all you do for everybody. Keep up the great work.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye now. All right, guys. And again, you know, always you will be able to, you know, check it out, the show, if you missed a little bit and you want to have more information, you know, about ADHD, ADD. You think you might have it. You think someone in your family might have it. This is the way to go, is check out the book. It's called Fast Minds, How to Thrive If You Have ADHD or You Think You Might. That's the way to do it. Of course, if you have any questions or comments, you can always contact me here at DocMichelle@AOL.com. Show will be available for download or replay tomorrow. All right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you can stay on the couch if you like. More great shows coming out along with CBS News. Check in on the latest. As I always say, have a great day. And do take care of yourself first, then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works. Be back next week. We are talking about why we love the bad boys and the bad girls. Why do we get into those crazy relationships? We like it. Take care. Bye-bye. Got you on my
Fires, 1,000 watts of sound.